I'm not saying that we should, you know, throw out the baby with bathwater here, right? But there has to be some analysis of the return on the investment. So, you know, what you're suggesting, which I don't disagree with, is there might be instances where enrollment is low for a certain program, but yet maybe that's a program where we need those kinds of degreed individuals. And so that would justify perhaps spending a little more than you otherwise would spend per student to keep the program in place. But we also have to believe that there are programs out there where the enrollment probably doesn't any longer justify continuing the investment in their program. And maybe not here, but I'm sure across all the universities in Illinois, we can find some examples of those. And it seems to me that if we can show some examples like that, then we gain credibility and we have a better argument when we come in and say, but we want these dollars for this other program. And so I'm with you. I don't want to do any black and white, you know, analysis that doesn't understand or doesn't take into consideration all of the factors. There's a lot of factors we should consider. We shouldn't be so simplistic that we end up damaging the system as opposed to improving it. But some of the things we talked about, and we had some interesting conversations, were, and I was waiting for somebody to ask about this, so I'll cut it off or I'll address it before you even ask. So as you know, we are in the process of finding a new executive director for the Board of Higher Education. And we were doing interviews this week, and we had people from all over the world who came and interviewed with us. And we talked about different ideas for addressing this very difficult budget quandary we find ourselves in. And so maybe it's what I described, and maybe it's not aviation, maybe it's some other program, maybe it's not U of I, maybe it's Northern or Western or Eastern. Or maybe it's simply deciding that you want to focus in one area because of the demand. Maybe you realize that you should offer courses at midnight to address non-traditional student needs. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe that's a good way to invest dollars, given where society is today and given the needs. There's all different ways of spending that I think we need to consider. And it's easy to look at saving money on electricity and those kinds of obvious expenses, but I think that the greater challenge and the area that we have the most opportunity in, all of us together, are these ideas of figuring out what kind of education do we want to offer today. Things have changed. What kind of offerings are students looking for? Which offerings are really no longer worth the state's small resources now? And so we need to question things. We need to question things in a way we haven't before. If we do that, then my guess is the governor's office, the legislators, and the public at large will say, you're a good steward of our dollars. Did that?
I think so. I think we agree that there ought to be a disciplined programmatic review. But I personally would be hesitant to tie that to strict economic metrics.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, I think we're on the...
Yeah.
And it's not clear to me that the fat in the higher ed is at the program level. We've asked the president to reduce, our costs by over 10% by 2012, and, we don't think that means cutting programs. So we'll see.
And however you do it, however you can show that you can reduce, I think, this adds to your credibility, and that's the whole point. I gave one example, but I'm sure there's lots of others. You guys know better than we do, right? Because you're in it. So I give you credit for doing what you're doing.
We're just the trustees, Mike.
And then I have sympathy for you, President Hogan, being on the corporate side when they say, "Hey, you got to cut your budget X percent," and you think to yourself, "Oh my God, how am I going to meet all the needs that everyone has, my department?" But it's tough times. Any other questions?
Well, first, thanks very much for spending time with us today and spending personal time with me, familiarizing me with the board, all the good work that you're doing, and we're grateful for that and for your time today. I do want to say right off the bat that we will assign someone to work with you. We'll assign a point person, and that person can bring in other talent as needed.
Right.
To work on the big idea. I have some ideas too. Second, we're a land grant institution, so we are very much, as a modern land grant institution, very much committed to fulfilling our obligation to the state to help in and building a better future, a better economic future, as well as educational and cultural future for the state. We'll be more than happy to work with you, both on the big idea and on other things. And we're already in a very unique position in making a very substantial economic impact on the state. And so we're looking to enhance that as part of our land grant mission. Third, the board, as Chairman Kennedy has said, has mandated a 5-10% reduction in administrative overhead over the next couple of years. I think we will achieve that. We've already made progress in that direction. And that has entailed some very difficult decisions, including the one that you referenced, which is under consideration now, the recent closing of the Police Training Institute. Chancellor Easter's been through the mill recently, downsizing our extension programs, and other things of that sort will almost certainly follow, not because they're not valuable, but because they are sort of not the core part of our mission. So when you're trying to manage a budget crisis, you try to manage it from the periphery in and not the other way around, and that's what I think we'll be trying to do, and we'll have good examples of that to share with you and other members of your board. So thank you very much.
Remember, it's not about satisfying us only. It's us working together to satisfy the people that really make the decisions.
Right.
So appreciate that.
And I know you're going
to
help us, too.
I want
to. On some of our agenda items
with
the state. We've talked about that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you again for the time.
Thank you.
And for the help.
Acknowledge the presence of university officers. I'm not, in the interest of saving some time on a crowded agenda, I'm not going to introduce each of them because we all know who they are. They're very familiar people and they're here time after time after time, do a great job. But I do want to make a special acknowledgement of Harry Berman, who is our interim chancellor on the Springfield campus, now attending in that capacity a board meeting for the first time. So welcome.
Thank you,
Harry.
Thanks.
Also, joining us today as Synod observers, and I will introduce them, beginning with Carol Massett, who represents the University Synod's conference. Carol, please, there you are. Please wave. Joyce Tolliver, Associate Professor representing the Urbana-Champaign Campus Synod. Joyce? She's left? I saw her there behind Bob. I knew she was here. Representing the Chicago Campus Synod, of course, is Professor Don Chambers. You can wave. Representing the Springfield Campus Synod is John Martin right there. Hi, John. Thank you for being with us today, Professor John Martin. Also in attendance are Phil Patston. I didn't see you back there, Phil. He's Associate Professor of Oral Medicine and Diagnostic Sciences, and he is Chair of the Chicago Synod Executive Committee. Thank you for joining us. And then, of course, Tifen Ting, there you are, I see you. She's here, Associate Professor of Environmental Studies and Chair of the Synod Executive Committee at Springfield and also Chair of the Springfield Synod. And finally, Matt Wheeler, Professor of Animal Science, and he's Vice Chair of the Urbana Synod Executive Committee and Chair of the University Synod's Conference. Matthew, I hope, please tell me I didn't leave somebody out, but that concludes the end. Oh, I did. I checked right over Margaret. Margaret Moser. She's representing the academic professional staff, and she is assistant to the Vice Chancellor for Research on our Chicago campus. Margaret, my apologies. Please, I was looking right at you, and I just left right over that name on my list. So, Mr. Chairman, that concludes the introductions.
we're just, we have a presentation of a panel for Ed's committee at 10:30, and we're running ahead of schedule. We thought we might try to switch things up in anticipation of the panel members' arrival around 10:30, and maybe try to get to some of the sustainability reports from the chancellors at this point. Would that be?
Excellent.
Okay, you've been asked to delay that report in the past, and now we're
now we're ahead of time.
Yeah, that's right, so appreciate the flexibility. Who would like to go first?
Your choice, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I think we'll let Chancellor Easter go first, and can see his seniority.
That's truly amazing.
That's amazing.
Well, just a few brief comments. As I thought about this, I realized that the sustainability has been something that has been a part of our campus culture for a long time. Mara Plotts are now more than 125 years old, and that's probably one of the world's longest standing efforts around soil sustainability. So it isn't something that we've come to new. But certainly in the last several years, it's received a great deal of renewed emphasis on the Urbana campus. We have an Office of Sustainability that sits at my level and reports to Vice Chancellor for Public Engagement. And that office leads our efforts. We, in that office, engage in a very strong manner with our students. We have, as one would expect, a great deal of interest on the part of our student body about the world that they will inherit and what we may do to make that world more viable than it could be in other ways. You know, I think, because this board approved recently the increase in the sustainability campus fee that our students pay each year. It's now $14. It was $5. This was something that our students voted overwhelmingly last spring to call upon us to do, to ask of you. The Student Sustainability Committee manages these funds, working with us. One of their efforts is the biodiesel process that converts food waste, oils from our dormitories, residual oils into fuel for vehicles on campus. The student farm is now providing food to our dormitories in a sustainable way. We have a large number of buildings on our campus. A part of these student fees are used to address issues with our buildings. We have a significant focus on LEED certification. We have 130 buildings that at some point we would like to move in that direction. The first, of course, the new building is the business instructional facility. It's LEED Platinum, one of 15 buildings, I understand, in the state of Illinois that's achieved that distinction, and the first anywhere in the world, as far as we know, in business education. We're very proud of the efforts that Avijit Ghosh did during his tenure as dean and others that were involved in the planning effort to get us there. Our students participate every second year in the international competition, the Solar Decathlon. It's a competition sponsored by the Department of Energy, and the goal is to build a house. And the competition occurs on the National Mall in Washington. And the goal is to design a house that is passive, that consumes no energy and thus no emissions. We were second this past year out of about 30 competitors. We were beat out by a university from Germany. Our students are now working hard in preparing for the 2011 competition, and obviously the goal is to win. We, a few weeks ago, dedicated some of the first buildings of Eikenberry Commons, silver, LEED certified. Our research programs across campus are in many, many ways addressing issues around sustainability, particularly as it relates to energy, but beyond that, we now have a 300-plus acre energy farm on the South Campus that now has trees, 100 acres of various grasses, as we see as second-generation fuels. We're in the process. We have a request for proposals out to construct a windmill that will be part of wind power energy generating windmill that will be a part of the energy farm but also contribute to our campus. That, as you may be aware, was